As you know, I'm not big on words, but anyway. Before I start, I'd just like to thank one of our missionaries we support. Brother David Cloud. I downloaded an e-book specifically for this message called Dressing for the Lord. I praise the Lord for the wisdom that God has bestowed on Brother David in this and many other areas. And I'd like to share a quote from this book that I found quite profound. He says, "The foundation of a modest Christian life is a heart surrendered to Christ." The foundation of a modest Christian life is a heart surrendered to Christ. Tonight's message is called, "Who Am I Dressing For?" Who am I dressing for? Dress standards. It's something I know is not really talked about much in churches today. Why? Because our pride gets in the way. Our pride gets in the way of God's chastening. Nobody likes to be shown what they're doing is wrong. But God shows us in His Word that from the time we get saved, right up until when we move on to glory, that we have things in our lives that are not acceptable to Him. The world of fashion, it's gone on a downward spiral into indecency. And the clothing that you can buy off the rack in stores today could be worn by a prostitute on the corner of King's Cross. The clothing is so tight and minimalist that the wearer is virtually naked. And then there's the unisex movement, which has been dressing men and women to look the same since the 1960s. It is now perfectly acceptable for a woman to have short hair and dress in pants and a shirt that only a short time ago would have been frowned upon by the majority. Fashion changes, but God never changes. Amen? So tonight we're going to take a quick look at what God says about how we should dress. When I told Pastor James this was a topic I'll be using for Wednesday nights, he smiled and said, "Rather you than me, Brother Andy." I should have heeded the warning there. I spoke to Brother Huey and he said, "Well, praise the Lord, as long as it's from the Bible, you'll be fine." And I talked to the teens briefly last Sunday and shared my testimony about how I ended up wearing what I wear. Even in the heat of summer, I wear what I wear. I'll quickly share that with you now. Okay, who can remember Red Lynch Community Hall? I've been at the door at Coastline Baptist Church basically since we started 9 years ago. No one told me about a dress standard that was appropriate, so I was casually dressed to the world's standards. I had a shirt that was hanging out or not tucked in, a pair of jeans, and a pair of runners. I can't remember how long, and I thought I looked pretty good, you know. No one told me about what was appropriate. But I can't remember how long I was at the door looking like that, but the Lord convicted me of how I was dressed, because one day I invited my boss to come to church, and I was at the door thinking, what happens when the boss turns up and he sees me looking like this? Shirt hanging out, pair of jeans and runners. I thought, wow, what about anyone who's coming to the door, visitor or not visitor? And then the clincher. What about the Lord? What would He think what I was wearing? So I took a look at what Pastor Dan was wearing, and he was wearing a nice shirt and a tie and a pair of pants and a nice pair of shoes. So I've been wearing that ever since. Some days I feel like it'd be nice and comfortable in a short t-shirt and a pair of shorts and flip-flops or thongs, but I know in my heart what the Lord wants me to look like. So, where is the origin of clothing? Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that for any problems we have in our lives, Lord, we can look into your word and you have a clear answer for all of our problems, Lord. And we thank you for this. Pray now, help us, Lord, as we look into your word. Help us to understand what it is you have to say to us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. There you go. There's the origin of clothing. Sin. So Adam and Eve made an attempt to cover their nakedness, but there was a major problem. An apron only partially covers the body. What they made for themselves was not a covering to God's standards. So what happened then? We see that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. So if you just scroll down your page a bit or turn over the page. Genesis chapter 3, 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. So God made Adam and Eve coats of skins. Coats. Was that because they were cold? No. Of course not. They'd been walking around naked. If it was cold, they wouldn't have been very happy walking around naked. So if it wasn't cold, why did God make them coats? Exactly right, to cover them up. God provided garments that the first sinners might be made fit for God's presence. I realise that while greeting people at the door of Coastline, that A, I have to look a certain way for the people, and B, more importantly, I had to separate my dress standard from the world and dress to please God. I talked to Huey about it. I'm always bouncing things off Huey. You know, it's good to have a brother or sister in the Lord that's been a Christian a bit longer than you. If you're going to need to have a quick answer for something, it's always good to go and see them. Anyway, he said to me, and I'd like everyone here to ask themselves exactly the same question. Okay, Brother Huey asked me this question. It was a while ago now, so I probably haven't got it verbatim, but it's sort of on these lines. But anyway, think about this question, okay? If you were invited by your best friend to their wedding, what would you wear? Would you turn up wearing some casual clothes that most people would wear to go down to the corner shop? My answer was no, I'd look in my wardrobe for my best outfit, and if that wasn't good enough, I'd go down to the clothing store and buy a new one. I hope that was your answer as well. We dress in a nice outfit so we don't offend the bride and groom, Huey said. But what about God? What about offending God? Is not God far more important than one of our friends? Does not God deserve our respect? Should we not honour him by wearing something that would please him? I've used this before, I must like this passage. Do we not believe what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20? Matthew chapter 18 verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Lord Jesus Christ is right here, right now, in our midst. And all of God's people said, Amen. So let's look quickly at a couple of things that we must consider when dressing for God. Number one, is it worn by the opposite sex? Quickly turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 22, chapter 22 verse 5 says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. This is a very important verse to shoot down the unisex crowd. It is now totally acceptable in this present secular world for women to wear clothes that were originally designed for men. It's also acceptable for their hair to be cut short like a man's. It is an everyday norm to see women and girls wearing jeans and shirts, even some of our female politicians wearing suits and ties. Also, the accepted norm that men have long hair like a woman's. Maybe not so much in today, but I know in the 70s, even the 80s, 90s, I had, before I became a Christian, I had shoulder length hair. As the teens will testify, I showed them a picture, they all had a good laugh. Just because it's the accepted norm does not mean that us as Christians should be doing the same. Just because it's the accepted norm doesn't mean that us as Christians should be doing the same. God tells us that we are to be different, that we are to separate from the world. A lot of people today think that Jesus had long hair because apparently it was the fashion of the day. You can quickly turn there if you want to. 1 Corinthians tells us otherwise. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. I can remember having conversations with mostly secular people, but they all say, oh, no, Jesus had long hair. Yep. No, he didn't. Yeah, I've seen his picture, exactly. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory for her. For her hair is given her for a covering. But there you go. Did Jesus have long hair? No. He tells us it's a shame for men to have long hair. So he would have had it pretty short, eh, Huey? Okay. Number two, what does it make others think of me? Who saw the news the other night when the Australian singer for Eurovision, she came second. Who saw her on the news? Yeah. Who saw her dress that she was wearing? I asked a guy at work what he thought the focus of Dami's dress was. His reply was with a smirk, and he said it was obviously her genitalia. He didn't quite use those words, but I can't say from the pulpit what he said. But anyway, even a secular guy knows exactly what the dress was focused on. From the back, it looked like a fantastic bridal type of gown, but from the front, it was pornographic. McCall's magazine was a monthly woman's magazine in the US. You guys might have heard of it before. Ran for a very long time. First printed in 1873, and its final publication was in 2002. I would assume that it finished up because of the internet. I want to read an excerpt from an article entitled "What Your Intimate Behavior Says About You." In this article, the author is telling women how to send sexual signals by the way you dress. The female legs have also been the subject of considerable male interest as sexual signalling devices. The mere exposure of the leg flesh has been sufficient to transmit sexual signals. Needless to say, the higher the exposure goes, the more stimulating it becomes, for the simple reason that it then approaches the primary genital zone. The first way to accentuate is to employ articles of clothing which underline the nature of the organ hidden beneath them. For the female, this means wearing trousers. The way to emphasize the nature of the organs of the body is by wearing these clothing, trousers, shorts, or bathing costumes that by their tightness reveal. Many women seem to think that the issue of modesty is basically the man's problem. And if that, he would just keep his eyes to himself, that would be the end of the matter. The answer to this is that both the man and the woman have a grave responsibility. Christian men should definitely always keep their eyes in check. Job chapter 31 and verse 1 says, I made a covenant with mine eyes, why then should I think upon a maid? And in Psalm chapter 101 and verse 3, David says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, it shall not cleave to me. David was a man after God's own heart, a man who had determined not to set any wicked thing before his eyes. Yet look what happened to him after seeing a woman bathing on her roof. Adultery and murder. Most women don't properly understand how powerful the virtual element is to the man in the realm of sex and sensuality. The book for women only, What You Need to Know About the Inner Lives of Men, by, I can't pronounce this person's name, Shontai Fieldton, describes a powerful visual aspect of man's sexuality. Note the following statements. Woman who is dressed to show off a great body is an eye magnet that is incredibly difficult to avoid. Even if a man forces himself not to look, he is acutely aware of her presence. When a group of men were asked what their reaction would be if they were sitting alone in a train station and a woman with a great body walked in and stopped in a nearby line, a whooping 98% put the response in, can't not be attracted. And only 2% were unaffected. And then interestingly, the results were essentially the same for men who described themselves as happily married believers. A knowledge of the man's makeup as a fallen creature and the powerful temptation that the immodestly dressed female can beat him should help the Christian woman understand how imperative it is for her to dress properly. You can imagine how difficult it can be for me on the door at Coastline sometimes. My prayer before I come to church always includes that I can look people in the eye, no matter what they're wearing. Normally I get some warning when I see them walking in through the car park, walking in from their cars, amen? I told you this message was going to be brief. This brief message was not to tell you can't wear this or you can't wear that, but to make you think about worldly fashion, what you wear, and how it might affect those around you. But most importantly, I wanted you to think on what does God think of how I dress. Amen. Thanks, Brother Huey.